You are listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Films. For more, visit our website at www.megiddofilms.org. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 27th of November, 2013. This is the show for this Wednesday. And the schedule probably over the next couple of weeks, for anybody who has been paying attention to the show or has been listening for a very long time, it's probably going to notice that the schedule probably will change a lot over the coming weeks, depending on when I have time available just to do a radio show. And depending on what topics come up from time to time, sometimes from time to time there might actually be two radio shows in a week, depending on what major stories, if a major story breaks and I can actually add something to it, maybe if I've been studying it for a long time. Wonderful. The topic going to be covered today, I planned on, as soon as I got Revelation 12 finished, had a couple of segues when I was dealing with ethic and spiritual Israel, but there was another topic that I really wanted to cover, which was looking at something that really, if you looked at my testimony on the YouTube page or on the MegiddoFilms.org website, it's been posted on there, you'll know that I have a heavy metal background. And one of the major influences on me in a number of years ago when it broke was the testimony of a man by the name of Brian Head Welsh. Now, Head is his nickname, it's not his actual name. Head is how he's known by a lot of people. As a lot of people have known, I've been meaning just to take maybe 1 or 2 weeks away from eschatology because it's so interpretation heavy that you kind of need to get away from it for a while and just focus on other things. But I plan on returning to eschatology and other things relating to futurism, Daniel 70th week, all that kind of thing. Possibly Matthew 24 at some stage in the future, but we'll see. Now, on this show, I'm going to be doing something really different, something I tend not to look at, I'll be honest. There's a lots of, you'll notice a lot of shows on the internet about the music industry. They're very, very popular. There's a lot of shows. There's a guy, actually, I think he's a Seventh-day Adventist, who runs and a lot of these things are run by people with often really bad theology. And there is a need for discernment, especially not to get obsessed by exposing a lot of stuff. Sometimes people get so obsessed with this thing, the Bible becomes a kind of a secondary thing in order just to show how evil this is. But what we need to be doing, it's so easy to be pointing out the sins of others, but if we're not living a holy life, a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and shows that he is our Lord and Master, then we must get away from the carnal entertainment of this world. And I don't tend to do shows like this. Now, the reason I'm doing a show on Brian Head Welsh, and also it's also going to deal with the dangers of celebrity testimonies. Now, when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a truly wonderful thing, regardless of whether they're a celebrity or whether they're a person that is a street bum. It doesn't matter as long as they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, better get my speaker there ready before I start. I'm going to be looking at a number of clips in this show, and I've been rooting through a number of videos. The videos have been, some people may claim, before you actually contacted me saying, I actually don't know anything about Korn, or Brian Head Welsh, who I'm going to be dealing with in a lot of the CBN. CBN is Christian Broadcasting Network. They are a news broadcasting, and they came out of the charismatic movement, more or less. Pat Robertson is one of the major contributors and one of the major televangelists who is on CBN, and Pat Robertson and a number of other people on CBN have been making these carnal Christians, quote unquote carnal Christians, there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. I dealt with that in a different show. But the there's a lot of people who probably claim, well, I don't know anything what I'm talking about. Oh, well, we can't judge these people. You don't know their full circumstances. Oh, you don't know why he's doing this, that, and the other. That may be true, but we can see them by their fruit. We can know them by their fruit. Jesus said we can test them. You will know them by their fruit. I can't judge their heart, but their fruit is evident for all to see. For all those who have no clue who Brian Head Welch is, or for another guy I'm actually going to look at just briefly, the testimony. I want to stay away from the music. I don't want to play any of that stuff on here. Brian Head Welch was the lead guitarist and is gone back again to Korn. And he left Korn, I think it was like 2006. It's a number of years ago. It was 8 years ago now. It was 2005 at this point, but it's definitely 8 years ago. This is what the advertising's been saying. Out of this, I don't necessarily want people all going to the Korn website and looking up this kind of stuff. Stay away from it. Realize that, read the end of Romans chapter 7. O wretched man that I am, do not feed the flesh, especially if you're coming out of that lifestyle. In fact, you may not even want to listen to that show if it may in some way put a stumbling block before you. But be that as it may, I listened to Korn since I was 15 years old. I haven't listened to Korn since I became a Christian. Well, I listened to a bit of Brian Head Welch after I became a Christian for about 6 months to a year after I was a Christian. I had his debut album. I listened to everything. I really believed he was a Christian for a very long time. But eventually, I got to a stage in my Christian walk where I said, well, I was either going to go forward and grow, or I was going to just listen to the false views of Brian Head Welch. I believed he was just an incredibly immature Christian, but a Christian. Not somebody to spread around his testimony and say, look how his life has completely changed. I just said, no, I need to stick with the Bible and what the Bible stated. So that happened, I guess, about 3 years ago. I don't know exactly what stage that was, but it was gradual. And I moved away from, and I don't share around the videos of his testimony at all. It seems wonderful what happened to him. But here's the thing. There's crucial things missing in his testimony, and there was from day one. Now, I certainly did not see this years and years ago, especially when I first saw it when I was a lost man. Of course, I didn't have any clue. And there is key things that have to be even learned from this point of view, even from the point of view of the gospel. The gospel is at stake here. The gospel is not four spiritual laws or four spiritual flaws, as it should probably be called, because Paul did not just give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps in order to get saved. He expounded for chapters, as we have in our modern Bible, through the book of Romans, the sinfulness of sin, the gross depravity of sin, what it does, what it causes people. It is death. It is a plague. But in no way, shape, or form, it's like, oh, you know you're a sinner? Oh, yes. Well, everybody knows they're a sinner. There's this superficial way of presenting the gospel. And I want to show you the warning signs. Again, when we were dealing with Billy Graham and the false presentation of the gospel there, the warning signs from Orthodox Christianity, those who believe in the historic Christian faith, and I mean that in the sense of believed truths that are central, that have been the core bedrock of what made Christianity strong at the time of true revivals, and not at every turn, at every time somebody claims to be a Christian, ergo they must be a Christian. The Bible in nowhere teaches that. In fact, it states the opposite. It states many who claim to believe shall hear in that day, shall cry out, Lord, Lord, and say, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? And Christ will say, Depart from me, I never knew you. You that work iniquity. You that lived as if I never gave you a law to obey. That would be the fruit of their lives. The tree that does not bring forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is what John the Baptist said to the Pharisees. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. So the fruit demonstrates, shows who you serve. The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of Christ Jesus. This is why I did my testimony the way I did it. I actually wanted to hold back. Even if Brian Head Welsh was a Christian, I don't believe he will go into the details of that in a while. But even if, just say he is a Christian, just say that. He is a really, really bad testimony. But we need to go into the details a bit because I don't want to go into too much of an introduction here. I prefer the testimony of it to stack up by itself and to show. And I think there's clear things that people need to learn about the dangers of this. Now, a lot of this came to my attention through a website, a blog called reflectionsfromthewall.net. That's reflectionsfromthewall.net. I do not know. It is not a discernment ministry. It actually says on the website, and it's just a blog. Some information was put together, and it links to other websites. A lot of things that are on the internet are just plain blogs. It doesn't mean it's true or not, but it's been sourced and shown in different places. Now, it talks about the fruit of Brian Head Welsh. Now, I knew for quite a while, even before seeing this, that the fruit of Brian Head Welsh was not good. I didn't like that he stayed in the metal scene. I just didn't like that at all. But I thought, okay, maybe he's actually a Christian, but still somehow playing metal. I can't... Look, I'm a former metal musician. And I believe if you grow, and if you actually grow to a certain point, that music grieves you. Not straight away. I listened to metal for probably about a year after I was saved. But it becomes the point where you know this is fleshly, carnal, and wicked. You know. And you don't have to. And I mean, I knew it myself. And my flesh craved out for it every time I kept putting it on. I keep hearing this argument, well, God made all forms of music, doesn't matter what we listen to. Well, he made it depends on the context. I mean, it's just, there's no scriptural support. We're saying, well, what can we get away with in the modern church? This is what the modern church, what can we get away with? What can we just do, not feel bad about? This is where it's kind of gone at the moment. Now, I want to look at, this is, again, I want to talk about CBN testimonies, and there's so many of them, and there's so many different people, but I think this demonstrates the dangers, especially if CBN is a Christian network, and the type of testimonies that they put out, largely exaggerated, highly pushing the charismatic visions, dreams, extra-biblical revelations, highly suspect testimonies from people who completely unbiblical stories. Now, it's not just CBN that's doing this. There's lots of different places doing this. But CBN is probably like a slightly watered-down version of what the other so-called Christian networks are doing. These Christian television networks, by and large charismatic, by and large Pentecostal, pushing this aberrant theology. Now, Pat Robertson, who almost became vice president back in the 80s of the United States, thankfully that never happened, was interviewing Brian Head Welsh back in, not too long after his testimony. I'm not too sure of the date of this. I think it was back in 2007, but this was a number of years ago. Look, brethren, this testimony was a huge part of how I came to know the Lord. I do not doubt that there's many of you out there listening to this who may have been deeply impacted by this, but you have to know that just because this may or may not have made you stand up and look, it does not mean, ergo, he must have been a Christian. People could have gotten saved, maybe even listening to Billy Graham, but Billy Graham teaches some of the worst heretical views on the gospel and also joins up with false religions, etc. The point I'm saying is you will know them by their fruit, not their testimony. And it seems to me, well, we'll get into it in a minute, you have to go with the Bible and the Word of God, not the method how you got there, not the stepping stones before you believed. If you go by your experience and by your feelings, you'll always be led wrong. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. You cannot trust your own heart. You must trust the Word of God alone. If you go anywhere else, you will be misled. Okay, let's start off with the Pat Robertson video. And you can search this on, there's tons of versions of this on YouTube. This is Brianhead Welch being interviewed by Pat Robertson.
One time along the way called up to Jesus. When was that?
That was the beginning of 2005.
Yeah.
I had tried to go to outpatient rehab because when you're on crystal meth, you get really like paranoid. And so I couldn't go to this rehab and just, you know, sit and share my feelings and all that. And so I tried to go to outpatient rehab and it didn't work. And I met some people that I was friends with, doing business with, actually, and they invited me to church. And I went when I was strung out all night. I didn't sleep for a couple of days. And I went to church and I just felt something. And, you know, and the guy said that Jesus was real. The pastor was just saying, if you just talk to him, mm-hmm. you know, things, he'll start to take things out of your life that's hurting you and stuff. And
now, straight away, it's like the presentation. I started feeling things. This is the thing. We have to go back to the very testimony. His very testimony has red flags, not just the fruit later on. The pastor said, Jesus is real. If you just talk to him, he will take these things out of your life that are hurting you. Now, that is true for the truly born-again Christian who truly repents and truly believes. But it is not that we go to Jesus just so he will take the bad stuff out of our lives. We don't go to Jesus so we feel contentment. We don't go to Jesus just for joy. We don't go to Jesus just because we have a vacuum in the hole of our heart. We go to Jesus for forgiveness for the crimes that we have committed, for the things we have done against a holy and righteous God. We must have the gospel right, folks. We must have the gospel right. If we do not love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how can we love the God of the Bible? He declares, the Son declares the Father. If you do not know the Son, do not know his message, how can you have any assurance of your salvation? Test the fruits.
In my sick mind, I was like, I'm just going to go home and I'm going to do my drugs like I normally do and I'm going to just talk to Jesus. And that's what I did.
And another huge red flag here. I'm just going to do drugs. And now, as a young person in the Lord, I listened to this and I thought, okay, maybe. Because you don't know, I didn't know much of the Bible by that point. And I said, okay, maybe that is possible. Here's the thing. John 1:12. Let's look at this. John 1:12. How are we saved? Not John 1, yeah. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born, how were they born? Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What does that mean? Not of the flesh. We appealing to the carnal desires of men will not help them get saved. You will get a decision, a human decision, which will do nothing for them. They must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not make a human decision. They must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the most radical thing you will ever ask anybody to do. It means to, because Christ, to love Christ means to hate evil. It means to love the things you once hated, the righteousness you once hated you now love, and now hate the evil things you once did. Not revel in them, not laugh at them. Surely there should be some kind of, there are so many testimonies of people in AA who come off of alcohol. There's so many testimonies of even people who enter into cults like Mormonism and have turned their life around in a moral way. They may even quote scripture at times, but it is clear they're not believing in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Not only should we be careful of any other gospel, we should also be careful of any other Jesus. It goes on to say, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, appealing to his will. Now, this pastor, as according to Brianhead Welch's own testimony, stated that he will take these things out of your... You're appealing to, well, here's good stuff. Here's what Jesus will do for you if you just talk to him. Now, people might say, well, maybe he didn't actually say that. Maybe he recounted it really badly. Oh, okay, let's give him that. But there's no mention of repentance from sin. There's no mention of him throwing himself upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So far, at least, we're going to play the rest of the clip. What does it mean, we're not born of the will of the flesh and not born of the will of man, but of God? We must not appeal to emotion and we must not appeal to the flesh. It must be a saving knowledge of God. We must drive it at the mind. Because repentance means a change of mind. Romans, let's skip here. Romans 10 states, so I don't get the confession or the quotation wrong, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, not just that, but also, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The heart is synonymous with the head. For as one man believes in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who rely and depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ, those who repent and grow in repentance, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we appeal to them, we do not tell people, if somebody comes in off the street, probably on drugs, we don't tell them, well, if you just talk to Jesus, if you just do this, this, and this, he will get the drugs out of your life. No, you must go to him. You have sinned against a holy and righteous God. You must cry out for his forgiveness. Yes, there is benefits of being a Christian, being a truly a Christian, obviously. But we cannot sell them the benefits of the Christian life in order to get them into the kingdom. We must preach the cross and deal with the man's true problem, his sin, his crime against a righteous and just God. Not, here's the benefits of being a Christian. And I say this because it is rife in so many so-called professing Christian churches. They do not know the gospel.
Did drugs and I talked to Jesus. And
what did he say?
I remember...
laughing. What did he say? Well, how about Jesus hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, the Word of God, which is written.
I chopped up my lines, and mm-hmm. I snorted my lines, and I just looked up, and I got real, you know, and I said, Jesus, if you're real, take these drugs from me, because I'm going to die if I don't quit doing them.
Right.
And I remember I said, Lord, check my heart right now. And I stayed silent. And I said, you know.
Okay. Your heart, according to Jeremiah 17:9, is deceitfully wicked. This is not something to depend upon.
I want to quit. And I said, if you're real, like this guy says, you know, take this stuff from me and make me become a good father for my kid, you know, basically. And within a couple weeks, I just got the power and the urge to throw everything away.
All gone? I mean, that, no withdrawal, nothing? I mean, it was just gone?
Well, here's the thing. That happens to truly converted people. I know people personally who had drug problems, who daily had drug problems, and when they believed they're true converts, believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they did kick their habit because they were made a new creature. Now, just because they kicked the habit does not mean, ergo, they're a Christian. We have to not make them. Do they know the Christ of the Bible? That is the question. Not how many habits have they kicked. Now, obviously, that is a good sign, a good indicator that somebody's truly a Christian. But nowhere in any of the testimony, I haven't found it. Maybe somebody can point this out to me. But I've seen testimony after testimony for years and years from Brian Ed Walsh. And maybe I've missed it somewhere and somebody can point it out to me. But there's nothing about repentance. There's nothing about repenting from sin. In fact, his first music video was filled with... Don't even look at it. I mean, people don't look at it. I mean, as soon as I say don't look at it, people will start looking it up. But his first music video as a solo artist, I can't remember the name of it now, but it was filled with... Well, the best way I can say is badly dressed women. It was sinful. The entire video was just sinful. Now, as a young Christian, I had a clue back then. Bad sign, a bad testimony, straight away. He at least should have been disciplined by his church, but probably because he's a celebrity. This is the problem with going celebrities. A celebrity, just because they're truly people who do become Christians, but just because they're a celebrity doesn't mean they know anything about God. We pick people from the church who truly know the Lord Jesus Christ and are apt to teach. That means skillful, not famous. We are not trying to appeal to the will of the flesh or to the will of man. But we are crying out to God for mercy for that sinner to be set free, so that he will throw himself upon the Lord Jesus Christ and that he will have mercy upon him. This is the true gospel.
Within the 2 weeks, I slipped one time
because yeah.
I found some more. But when I try to get high, it's like I knew inside it was the last time I was going to get high. But mm-hmm. when I had, I remember I was on my last little bit and I was stumbling through the Bible going, is this stuff real? Is this real? You know, I need it to be real. And all of a sudden I felt a peaceful presence, like heaven opened over me and came over me. And I was like, I looked up and I just said, Father. And I knew it was God, and all of a sudden, the fatherly love came into me. It came out of me, and I was able to look at my daughter the next day, throw away all my drugs, and look at her and say, Janaea, I'm going to be home with you every day. No more nannies, no yeah. more tours. And her face just lit up, and it's like my life was instantly changed. And it's you know, you can't deny a changed life, and it's still, I'm still going.
Well, what happened to the band? I mean, did you regret giving up all that stuff? The fame and the groupies and the yelling and cheering? Does that make any difference to you?
I miss the fans, but no.
It's kind of horrendous. Don't you just miss all that horrendous filth and sin? Pat Robertson, I mean, just, you know, another completely inappropriate question by him, but let's continue.
I mean, when God tells you something, it's like, yeah, that's God, you know? And it's like, it was so...
It seems to be also going from audible voices. Now, again, for somebody who's just being saved, you'd be willing to let some of it slide for the sake of you know, people don't know when they're just saved and they're, but has he grown since then? The answer is no, and we'll go to another clip. Another danger is he's gone back to corn, actually. He quit corn at that point, and he's gone back to corn now. Now, I'm not saying he's on drugs. I'm not saying he's gone back to the old lifestyle he was living. He's had a moral reformation. But you can change your life, folks. You can try and clean yourself up. But it means nothing before God. The only thing that is pleasing to him is if you are in Christ Jesus. This is my beloved Son, the Father said, in whom I am well pleased. This is another testimony from, again, from CBN. Willing to just interview anyone who's famous and claiming to be a Christian. Now, it seemed from, he's the bass player in the band, Feely is his name. At least his nickname is Reggie Arvizu, maybe that's his name. Says how he found Christ. Now, again, the testimony, there's no mention. Now, sometimes when you give your testimony, sometimes you leave out details. I realize that. Sometimes you don't put in everything. Sometimes you don't say, I repented of my sin and I trust the Lord. And sometimes even if you put all those details in, you have the lingo, you don't truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible also. You can say all the words and may not know God. You may just have learnt it off. There's plenty of fundamentalist churches that are just like that. We'll continue.
So that just all passed, and that's when everything came, you know, came back to the house and went through a deep, like, dark moment. I just really started thinking about everything. From what I'm doing to myself, to his death, to how I'm, you know, what I'm leaving behind. I couldn't take it anymore.
That led Fieldy to a sincere prayer of commitment that changed his life.
Yeah, it's like the sincere prayer, the sinner's prayer. I mean, he was sincere at that point. Were you sincere at that point when you pray that prayer? The test of whether you're a Christian is not whether you were sincere at that point. You can be sincere and your heart is sincerely wicked. And it will self-deceive you. The test of whether you're a Christian is whether you're growing in repentance. Where you take the book of 1 John and you see if this describes your life. Whether you are growing in holiness. For without holiness, no one sees the Lord. Whether you more and more in the inner man delight, you will have that struggle with the flesh, yes. But with the inner man, you will delight in the law of God. There is a difference between God's people and those of the devil. It's not just a sinner's prayer. It is not just a decision. And we should not be seeking for a decision. If you look at missionary letters, they are filled with people saying that children made decisions. They mean nothing. Why? Because most of them leave the church. We see this practically, and we see none of that form of so-called evangelism in the Bible. None of it.
I had chills throughout my whole body, almost like a coldness, and I was...
There's a similarity in a lot of these testimonies as well. I had a feeling over my body, it chills, I'd goosebumps, different things like that. But you'll notice that with a lot of testimonies like this.
I was crying. Where are these tears coming from? I'm just reading some words, you know? Like, I guess I just reassured because I, you know, because you can, I tell a lot of people, you can do the Savior prayer with your brain. It's not going to do anything. You have to do it with your heart. When I accepted Christ, now I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray for some of these things that I'm a slave to.
Okay. Again, there's lack of detail of what is the gospel? What does it mean to follow Christ? To follow Christ means to turn your back on the lies of the devil, your own heart, everything, or you cannot be his disciple. Pick up your cross turn from your idols and follow him. Now, to man, this is impossible. It is. But to God, all things are possible. Because man is dead in trespasses and sins. Man is utterly incapable of turning to God because he hates God. Hates God. But we must preach the gospel to captives, criminals, so that God in his mercy may set them free. Those who have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Those Christ died for, people who were already his. And when it pleases the Lord to call them forth, they will be saved. And what will happen, you will see good fruit for them. You will. Why did John the Baptist say, every tree that brings not forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire? Matthew 3. Why in Matthew 7:21 does it say, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven? Continue.
It went in steps, so that I was, you know, set free with no withdrawals, you know, from the weed to the pills, you know, everything. I stopped.
Over time, he became more aware of his need for God's forgiveness.
I walk into the bathroom and put my face on the floor and just say, forgive me, man, like, because some of the things I did were so bad, you know. And
this is a good sign. At least I want to kind of say, well, if this was, Lord, forgive me, that was my testimony as well. Crying out to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for the wicked and horrible things that I have done. That is a good sign of repentance. But if you continue, Jesus said to those who believed on him in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, which is the fruit of a truly born again, somebody who's been regenerated, someone who will endure until the end, that is a sign of someone who truly knows God. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free.
I just knew, he said, I forgive you, son.
Fieldy spent a year apologizing to everyone he could think of that he had hurt. The hardest person to apologize to was his girlfriend at the time, Dina.
I was going to be heartbroken if she left me, you know? So I was like, man, I really got to take a chance here and of her leaving me after I tell her I've been cheating on her. And I took the chance.
Dina was furious, but she forgave Fieldy. The two married and started a family. As far as his career, he's still with Korn. I asked him about his decision to stay with the band. He believes it's for a good reason.
There's so much power of being used in Korn, you know, that I can reach so many people and know what I'm about, not what Korn's about.
So what?
Okay. Well, yeah, and heads gone back and feel these professing Christians, but not really consistent with their walk. Oh, it doesn't matter about our, you know. And I've seen a lot of people trying to defend, and there will be a lot of people who are probably trying to defend these people and say, well, you know, as a meddler, and I've seen a lot of comments on different videos, oh, well, I'm a meddler, I'm a Christian, and I'm this, that, and the other. It's almost like saying, to the point of kind of going, well, I'm a pornographer, I'm a Christian, I'm... Here's the thing, people live in a constant state of adultery in churches and think they're still Christians. What does the Bible say about these things? Ephesians 5, verse 1, we're going to read from verse 1 onwards. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us. Walk in love. What is love? Commandment keeping. The moral commandments. Commandment keeping. And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet smelling savor. He's satisfactory unto Christ. He's finished work on the cross, and he's continuing work today as the priest, as our intercessor for all those who would ever believe. for all those who do believe, for all those who worship before the throne of God, for all those who love God, for all those who show mercy. There is a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving to thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, listen to this, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And you go, well, we're all sinners, we'll still be sinners. I have to look back here, it's 1 Corinthians. It goes through the list of things, such as ye once were. Talks in Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened. This is talking to Christians who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You no longer, if you're Christians, walk according to the course of this world. You walk differently. Excuse me. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, this is how we once walked, such as we once were, not continue to be. The test of a Christian is someone who continues in the written word of God. God spoke as he was holy men of old, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is the test. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, Jesus said. Look at John 8:31-32. The fruits of a believer. Read Psalm 1. That man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way, nor sitteth in the scorner's chair, but placeth his delight upon God's law, which he meditates day and night. That is the Psalter version. Is that true of these people's lives? Now, I'm finally going to get to a lot of the material I found from this website. Again, if you want to look up more of this website. And there is very bad fruit from all of this. Where this is all headed to at the moment, trying to show kind of people that the Brian Head Welch is now promoting. One of them is a man by the name of John Crowder. John Crowder. John Crowder is part of the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. To quote John MacArthur on this, John MacArthur stated that, I'm not quoting him directly, but I'm kind of paraphrasing off the infamy of memory, that it is not new, it is not apostolic, and it is not a reformation. It is nothing short of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It is up there with the Todd Bentleys of this world, if you have not heard of John Crowder. This is who he's in close affiliation with. There is a video of him, and I don't even want to play it, it is disgusting, of Brian Head Welch, not so long ago, enjoying some kind of a mystical, weird communion where he's dipping bread into the wine. It is so unbiblical, and his unbiblical manifestations that are coming out from this. It is horrendous. Look, if people want to research this further, go on to reflectionsfromthewall.net and look up the fruit of Brian Head Welch. I do not even... And for anybody else who's like saying, well, that's obvious, well, I'd say stay away from it. But there is a picture here of John Crowder apparently toking almost like you're taking some kind of marijuana or something. The baby Jesus. That these people, if you have no idea who John Crowder is or how bad that section, I won't even say the section, this is where the charismatic movement goes. It goes crazier and crazier as time goes on. In, it quotes here on this website, in Crowder's Mystical Union book, he writes, "I am not pressing in anymore. I've been pressed into. I'm not contending anymore. I've been contended for. I'm not a God chaser anymore. I've been chased down, roped, hogtied, bagged, dragged. I'm not appropriating what I have. It's mine. I'm not getting close to God. It's like a Siamese twin. I'm not even seeking God anymore. He found me." It's just, it's outlandish. I don't even think you need to quote him. It's like Todd Bentley. I wonder why people were silent on Todd Bentley for so long, just to start a rant on that. But, I mean, if you know anything about the ludicrousness of Todd Bentley, now it's this, I've seen a couple of minutes of this man looks like he's drunk constantly. You watch a minute, watch 10 seconds of his video, and if you do not clear that this man is a false teacher, there's nothing to do with Christianity, I don't know what to say. This is this bizarre rolling around in the ground, giggling during some kind of communion, mock communion almost. It's a blasphemy, it is what it is. And this is who Brian Headwalsh is having fun with. He's denying our Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, by his actions. Titus 2 writes about this. "And I have no doubt people will come up with all sorts of reasons, but you can't judge his heart. We're to judge his fruit. And move away from him." We're not even supposed to eat with him, if you look at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So that is how serious God takes anyone claims to be a Christian and lives like the devil. We're not even to eat with him. And there's no stipulation in there for family members. It is for all. We are doing them no favors. We are to follow Christ and love Christ in such a way that our love for Christ makes it look like we hate everything else, including our family, including our music collection, including our idols, which is what it truly means to repent and believe. For Titus 1, verses 15 and 16. "Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." This verse is talking about those who are pure, all things are pure. But unbelieving is nothing pure. Goes on to say in verse 16, "They profess to know God." These people who have their mind and conscience defiled. "They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Reprobate means to fail the test. There is a test. 2 Corinthians. You test the fruit. "Not everyone who cries unto me, Lord, Lord, is truly a Christian," is what Matthew 7:21 states. 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ, Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?" Examine yourselves. If you are following that, and that is your form of Christianity, and that does not bother you, you can have no assurance of salvation. I'd say if this still doesn't bother you, or even just you're lost, you do not know God. It is blasphemous, this action by John Crowder. If it really does bother him, and he looks like a kind of some kind of goth zombie, And I've been around those scenes. I get it. But if you dress like a zombie, if you truly love death, the Bible says you hate God. If the fruit of your life is not life and peace, you can have no assurance of your salvation. If you are not relying and continually calling and continuing with a broken heart over your sin, you can have no assurance of your salvation. I've watched video after video. I've been watching these videos for years. So, before people start to say, well, you don't know him, I started listening to Korn Records when I was 15 years old. I stopped listening to Korn Records when I was about, I guess I was 24 by the time I got saved. I was listening for 9 years. I had pretty much all their records up to that point, probably like 5, 6. They've probably released a lot more since then. I have no idea. They've been thrown into black bags and since been destroyed. This is what we're commanded to do. Throw the junk out. Throw it out. If you've got that kind of music in your home, throw it out. You know what you need to do. You don't need to pray about it. You need to throw out that kind of stuff today. Okay. Now, there's also a more disturbing aspect for both of these, and this shows the danger of just spreading around celebrity testimonies. Now, sometimes it can be a celebrity testimony, and if it turns out, oh, that's genuine, we can see the fruit in his life. Excellent. Share his testimony around. What a wonderful encouragement. Praise the Lord. I am not against that in any way, shape, or form. But we must test the fruit and not just kind of go, well, here's a celebrity. He mentions Christ every now and again, and there's been a change in his life. Does he preach the gospel? Does he preach the gospel? The gospel was not barely mentioned. It was not mentioned at all by these two men in their testimonies. He talks about a sinner's prayer, but it sounds like a religious rite he's going through. Not giving up on self, not trusting in self anymore, but trusting upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The lead singer in Korn, just to make this even worse, and there's lots of things you could talk about, but I just want to make it even worse. Jonathan Davis, he has formed a kind of a side project that is called J-Devil. And he says in one interview, I've been fascinated with the devil my whole life. So it slipped in organically. He says, anger isn't a bad thing. This is back in 2012, by the way, in case people are wondering. It's not that long ago. And the vile, blasphemous, disgusting lyrics that have always been in Korn Records, and I know Korn Records, I know what's in them. This song, Adidas, talks about sex. So there's no getting away from this stuff. It is polluted. You cannot go back into that vileness and claim to love God. It's not possible. If you were surrounded in that lifestyle, writing that music and getting a kick out of it, then you know not God. He says, I've been fascinated with the devil. He says, anger isn't a bad thing. And I agree. Righteous anger, if you're not angry with this kind of stuff, well, there's something wrong. But he goes on and says something horrendous. A lot of people think that the 7 deadly sins are bad. Jonathan Davis says they're not bad. They're what make you excel in life. Greed isn't bad. It inspires you to go out and get things you want. That's one example. I'm down for all this. Just to return again to Ephesians. Does this covetousness bother any of these people? Look what it says. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Look, there's so many testimonies you can mention. Dave Mustaine of the Megadeth claims to be a Christian as well. There's no reason to believe he's a Christian. He has no problem playing in the same stage with people like Slayer. I know what Slayer lyrics are about. I listened to him for long enough. All of that, if a person does not leave that behind, you can have... They're not Christians. They can't be. How can they still hold on? You cannot serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, cling to one and hate the other. It is not possible to serve two masters. And the Jesus of the CBN networks and the Jesus of all these, this American Christianity has been pumped out all over the place, is this: just add Jesus to your life and it doesn't matter about your fruit, whether you are a true convert or not. What lesson can we learn from this? Do examine yourself. See if you're truly in the faith. Are you producing good fruit? Are you hating evil? Are you loving the things of God? Are you delighting yourself in His Word? If you truly are, then that is a sign you have been saved. If you love the Word of God, you're growing in righteousness, and you're delighting in His Word, and you take your joy in such, then you can have assurance of your salvation. But if you cannot, then you can't have any assurance of your salvation. Actually, if you were bored by the things of God, and the world is just sucking you in more and more, and you take no pleasure from the Word of God, you can have no assurance of your salvation. And if you're neck deep into blasphemy like this, and it does not bother you, actually it seems to thrill you, as I've seen in some of these videos, you know not God. How many Christians or professing Christians watch things on television that God hates? Are you truly a Christian? Ask yourself that question. Is the wrath of God abiding on you because you have failed to trust upon Him, upon His only, upon the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will you continue in your sin, and you will die in your sin? Look, brethren, or people, I say this to you lovingly, and to the people who are truly Christians, grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, so that way you can grow in assurance and have to stand upon the firm rock, and to repent from the idolatry of the CBN testimonies and all this kind of thing. Because, look, I know this was instrumental in bringing me to the Lord. But what saved me was not Brian Head. Well, what saved me was not a televangelist. What saved me was the Lord. Who saved me was the Lord Jesus Christ. What saved me was the gospel. Preach the word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. This is the thing that makes the difference. For the gospel is the power of God and to salvation. If we truly believe that, go preach the gospel. Forget about celebrity testimonies. They are a comedy of errors. Now, treat them just like anything else. If somebody comes in and claims to be a Christian on day one in your church, you don't just make them a church member. You see and you get to know them over time, and then eventually they may become a church member because you want to see who they are, because we realize that people lie at times. We must do the same with all people, regardless of celebrities, who else. What is at stake? It is the glory of God and how we glorify our Savior, our Lord, our King. May we exalt His name, and may we not be drawn into the flashy, celebrity-like, Christianized morality that has kind of gone into all sorts of places. But in their works, they deny their own Lord and Savior. In their works, they are reprobate. If their works deny Him, then their faith is dead. May God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. Talk to you soon.
Thus He said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. It shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces.
The only thing that will tie me in victory continually through the blood of Christ is my personal devotion to him, the Son of God.